You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And no more announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Isaiah today, chapter 25, verses 6 through 8. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, Oklahoma, man, what is going on with this weather? Man, sometimes it's like a summer. What was summer Altus, wasn't it? Something like 95 or something. And summer part was 100. It's ridiculous, man. And then the next day, who knows what it's going to be. So it's really strange, this weather here in Oklahoma. Extremes, man. Just wait, and it's going to come. So we've been enjoying the warm weather. Sepp and I, we went for a walk out at Thunderbird, and that was beautiful. It was absolutely a summer day. That's all it was, just with no leaves on the trees. But basically, it was a summer day. It was really nice. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time, Lord, when we can open the scriptures. We enjoy, Lord, this nice warm weather. And we thank thee, Lord, for the promise that it has spiritually for us of the coming day when we will see summer in resurrection. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we've been looking at the U, V, and W's of Right the Vision, and we're digging deep. We're into the mysteries because the mysteries, really, I think, understanding the nature of the mysteries is a way of really answering preterism from a completely scriptural point of view. An answer, I would like to say, I don't think those who perhaps are following some other doctrinal path can really quite answer as well as we can. And they may come to the correct conclusion to some degree about the fact that preterism, full preterism, is false, but nonetheless, I don't think they're necessarily coming up with good answers, and we want good answers. We want scriptural answers, answers that make sense. And that comes from past, and so there's a little bit of a humor there. Relax, it all happened in 70 AD. Okay, so last time we were looking at these mysteries in the Bible, and I'll quickly go through some of these slides because we looked at them last time, these ideas that today the word mysteries basically survives, the meaning survives in various English words which have to do with to close, murmur, mutter, mumble. Those of us who are teachers, we try to get our students to speak clearly. We like to think that we're going to speak clearly. Perhaps we don't always, but we want to encourage our students to be able to be confident in speaking what they understand. And we certainly don't want them to get up and murmur and mumble and mutter and things like that. We want them to have an open mouth at certainly at the right times and a closed mouth at the right times. But we don't like murmuring, muttering, and mumbling. Okay, so we see this idea that, you know, the idea is that God opens things. And it's true that we must study, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, that's obviously true. But there is this to and fro, this synthesis and synergy that goes with God, and that God will open things up or he will close things. And we want to believe that that when we bring a message to someone or a group of people, that God would also be working. It's simply not us coming before a group of people and opening up the scriptures and preaching a message, and that's all. No, there's got to be a work of God in the lives of people so that they can open up their hearts and then a work be done. And so this comes up very clearly. the disciples came and said, "And why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And this is where it comes up. Isn't it interesting, the numbering here? Matthew 13. I can't prove that the numbers in the King James Bible are inspired, but I do observe things that help us remember. And one thing I've come to see is quite often the numbering, which was added to the scriptures after the inspiration came originally, nonetheless, these numbers are very helpful. Look at 13. I mean, if you just go back to the previous chapter, chapter number 12, you see there the prophet, priest, and king was rejected, all right? And this rebellion then is ensued in chapter 13, and this is where parables are mentioned. And this is where the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are kept away from the multitude, but to the people, those the disciples who are brought inside the house, they are expounded and explained. And so it says, "He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries." It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Okay, so there's part of that working of God that we see. So we went through a lot of this business of Romans 16. 16:25, when I first began to understand something about the Bible rightly divided and Acts 28, this was a problem passage. This was a problem passage because what I thought I could see in here was Acts 28:28, the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. And I had them confused for a time, I have to say. And I'd say, "Wait a minute, what's going on here?" I couldn't get it clear for some time. Do you know what? In time and believing the scriptures, I've got it clear. At least for me. I may not communicate it clearly to you, but I do have it clear in my own mind what this mystery is. And this mystery is not the same as that which was given to Paul in prison, Ephesians chapter 3. It's not the same mystery. And you can see down in here, notice kata, according to a revelation, apocalypsin, of a mystery, which has been hidden in age times. Which has been hidden in age times. Yes, it was hidden down there. And if you look at this thing and you see how it matches up to Romans chapter 1, you can see an obvious distinction between these two, but a connection as well. That, yes, there was certainly instruction that was given in time past, and nonetheless, there was something hidden that Paul brings out and teaches us all about the law of sin, Adam, man, no mention of the nation of Israel. Here is the commonality between all callings, that yes, we are lost without Christ, and we are all related through Adam, and we get back our place that was lost by coming to Christ and being justified by grace through faith. So we have been looking at this business of the mysteries, and we saw here in Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Again, this is showing us this truth that Romans 16 brings up. It says, "Without the law is manifested." So it's being brought to the surface, it's being made plain, because an inspired prophet, that is Paul, brings this truth out, and then being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Something has been brought out, and then there was a witness to it. The witness of the law and the prophets. And, of course, this is what Paul's going on about in Romans 16. And we looked at this last time. This verb, sigao, which means this. It means stuff to do with keep silence. Keep silence, hold one's peace. And so this is exactly it here, sesagemenu, which has been hidden in age times, but now is made manifest. And we saw how this idea of being kept close or being held silence is used in the scriptures. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:7, we looked at this one. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. So here it's talking about wisdom. This is wisdom which has been hidden, right? Hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I have this picture here. Here is the katabole, the overthrow of the world. Here are the ages, right? And you'll find that in the scriptures, pertaining to this event about Jesus Christ being ordained to go to the cross and be the sacrificial lamb, yeah, that does go back before the age times. And that's not a problem. That's not a problem to us, because this is one of the connecting points for people of all ages. It doesn't matter which one it is. If you're going to get redeemed, you've got to come through Christ. His sacrifice is what's going to redeem us. But where God places us within his kingdom, that's another matter. That's something to do with God's special purpose with peoples and groups. And we have to look for what God is going to do with us. And the place we go to find that information is in the post-Acts books, Paul's prison epistles, especially like Ephesians. We talked about how that there is a wisdom. And we talked about how that this needs to be brought out, and how that the prince of this world wants to keep this revelation down. Look at what happened. Just look at what happened politically and spiritually. Happened recently. On one day, you get Trump, right, being made president. Then the next day, what do we have? We have this march by women who are gathering together around all kinds of notions, but one of which is supposedly their right to kill their baby. What is that? How on earth can you possibly rally people around a notion? How can mothers possibly rally around a notion of killing their babies? How deceived can you possibly get? Yet, it's there, my friends. It's all documented. It happened. Man, is there a spiritual warfare going on or what? People see things only in terms of political things. But behind these things, there is a spiritual truth. Everything comes from that. I mean, we could wax on about this. And, you know, this kind of individual who was really just, you know, a promoter of the doctrines which would be used by the Nazis to destroy people. You know, that's all. And she, you might say, oh, yeah, but Sanger's books were burnt up by the Nazis. I'm not talking about her book. I'm talking about what's in the books. That notion was certainly used by the Nazis. You know, you look at some of the things that came up, for example, in the executive order here. I mean, you just read it through. In order to protect Americans, the United States must ensure that those admitted to this country do not bear hostile attitude toward it and its founding principles. You see, you have to agree with this, you know. Founding principle. The United States cannot and should not admit those who do not support the Constitution or those who would place violent ideologies over American law. This is common sense, isn't it? Why would you bring people into the country who's going to destroy the country? You must be insane to want to have people come into the country and destroy it. What I like too is in section 10 where it talks about gathering statistics. As a person that's involved with statistics, I know how valuable they will be. And his notion here of collecting reliable statistics about how the refugees who have been admitted into the country get numbered in terrorist activities. These statistics should be kept and then released to the American people. So we're looking at this notion of the stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's have a look at now, this is where we begin today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go there and have a look at this. And chapter 4, 1 Corinthians and chapter 4, and verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the mysteries of Christ. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards, not stewards. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, that means, therefore, there are many mysteries. There are certainly many mysteries. Secrets. And it's interesting, this word here. Huperetas. These are the under rowers, man. They're the ones that are putting the energy into the row. The ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Well, there are plenty of mysteries of God in here. Plenty of them. And it says in verse 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I'm very confident that Paul was a faithful minister of these mysteries that were passed on to him. And if you look at the next verse, it says this, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. The Lord is going to be the final judge on how well we do as ministers. Now, there, as I say, there are many mysteries of God, but we need to be very careful and plain about what specific mysteries were given to us. And we know from what Paul says in Ephesians 3 that there is something called the mystery. So we want to be faithful, right? We want to be found faithful. Well, my question to you then is, if we're going to be found faithful, we've got to know what the mysteries were that were passed on to us. He is confident and was confident, and I'm sure in the resurrection, he will be found to be a faithful minister. Well, what about us? Well, and when I say us, I'm not specifically talking about us in this room. I'm talking about all us out in internet land and everywhere else in the world, Christians, people who name the name of Christ. How are you going to be faithful in terms of being a steward of the mysteries of God if you do not know the sacred secret that's passed on uniquely to us in this age? That's my question to you. Do you know what it is? And if you say, no, I don't know what it is, well, it's going to be pretty hard to be faithful then, isn't it? It's going to be pretty hard. How can you be faithful in administering the secret which has been revealed to Paul the prisoner and passed on to us if you don't know what it is? So we've got to be clear about this, right? So I'm trying to be clear that, yeah, there are plenty of mysteries, and especially concerning mysteries concerning Christ, and we should all be involved with bringing these out. Why? The mystery of godliness, for example. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Beautiful, man. Hey, I want to be faithful about that mystery. I want to make that plain. And I'm not going to accept someone coming to me and saying, no, Jesus was just a man, just a prophet, and that's it. He was nothing more than that. No, sorry, wrong. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. Oh, yeah, so he was a created being, was he? And he created all things. What an unusual thing that is. A created being creates all things. No. Sorry, you got the wrong Jesus. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Yes, so we understand there are mysteries, okay? And we're going to be good stewards and we'll bring these out. But wait a minute. There is something known as the mystery that was given to Paul the prisoner. We need to make sure that is made known. Why? Because this mystery relates to where God is going to place us in his realm. You know, how are we going to deal with this? God who always was there, and he has a kingdom, and this kingdom relates to various facets and people. How is he going to administer that? Well, God is God.
And God is going to put us in different places in His government. He's going to use us in His government different ways. And this mystery here talks about the hope. Okay? The hope, which is ours. It's not the same hope as what He said in the book of Acts. It's not the same hope that the Lord brought to the nation of Israel. It's not the same hope. This hope here is based upon a promise that was kept in God. It was hid in God before the foundation of the world, before the Kakabole. Way back here, man. Down here. Way back in time. I'm not talking about way back when Adam was put on the earth. No. I don't know where this is in time. Don't know. Way back there. People say, well, the earth is only 10 grand old. Really? You sure about that? Because in my Bible, it says this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And when it says was without form and void, it means it became without form and void. And when you look at this expression, without form and void, that is in the context of a judgment. Some judgment came on the earth. It was made, and then there, at some time after that, there was this katabole, man. Some kind of overthrow happened on this earth. And then later on, man was placed on there. And who was there? He was already there. Do you think that's a little bit strange? Satan was already there. How come? Well, because, my friend, there was some sort of overthrow previously. And Satan was trying to bring man into his little kingdom. In his rebellious kingdom. There was already war, man. With other creatures. Do I believe that man is all there? No! Man's just a recent advent. He's recent. Historically. He just came in on it. But there are other creatures out there. The Bible's wild, man.
The Bible has stuff in there that will blow your mind. So we've got to be faithful, as Paul was, stewards of the mysteries of God.
Yeah, there's mysteries and we need to bring these out and clarify them. But there's also the mystery of Ephesians and the prison period, which we uniquely were given as a people redeemed by God and given a special hope in the heavenly places.
Cool. Okay, that's cool. I mean, we can wax on this. Now let's go across to, since we're in Corinthians, let's go across to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And this relates to another interesting series of secrets. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity. This is this agape. This is this love between Christians. I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling Christian. It's not only between Christians, but it's a possession of Christians which they can exhibit to all people. So this is a really interesting thing because he says, though he has these tongues, men and angels, but he doesn't have this Christian love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. There's great metaphors here of the place that we would have without this special love. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand, look at this, all mysteries, all of them, though I have them. Now notice it says understand. I understand all mysteries. And then it says, and all knowledge. So it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. It's really amazing how strong this is. Let me just show you this. When it says here, I am nothing, look what it says here. There is the verb to be. I am not hen. Not one thing. I am not one thing. It's a strong statement, isn't it? And here is some sobering thoughts.
Though we have come to understand many of these mysteries and this great secret purpose, hidden God, if we do not have this love, wow, we have just got not one thing. We have become ourselves, not one thing.
And I think this is a very sobering thought, isn't it? That, yes, our Christian life must be more than just knowledge. Understand all mystery and all knowledge. I mean, as someone that's involved with education, we want to push knowledge and understanding. There is a hidden dimension to all this. Without the Christian faith, without the knowledge that comes from God and exhibited in love, the special Christian love, I'm afraid we're going to come up short. We're going to come up big time short with just a head knowledge. And we know this is true from our own lives. We know that that's exactly true. Let's go across one more chapter in chapter 14. And isn't it interesting that Paul, he had these gifts. And I often think about, wow, what an amazing thing it would be to have this gift of healing. Oh, man, I wish I had that. Man, would I be using it. If I had the gift of healing, oh, man, you know, I think of so many things, even in my own personal life. You know, my sister, she died of cancer, lung cancer, and we didn't even know that she had cancer. And she went off, her sickness really became evident in the winter time. And in New Zealand, the winter can get quite cold and quite damp. And so we decided, well, okay, maybe it's a good idea to go to the tropics. So she went off for a vacation to Samoa, which is nice, nice temperature there, beautiful warmth and so on. Well, she didn't get better. She didn't get better at all. And she finally passed away right on her own vacation. And in the hospital where she died, there was a doctor who took x-rays of her lungs. Do you know, the only part of her lungs that were actually working were just a slight slither at the very top of her lungs. And I thought to myself, oh, if only we had the gift of healing. You just put a hand on her and just say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you are healed. What a fantastic thing that would be if we did have that. We could take away that. The only thing we can say, though, is that the ultimate healing is in the physician who will bring her up from the grave, right? And give her life again, as we too. We will all succumb, right? We shall all succumb, but we all shall be changed. In 1 Corinthians 14:2 it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." In the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So in other words, to the people round about, they don't understand this, right? They don't understand what's being said. Right? They don't hear the language. They're not part of understanding the language, and therefore it's a secret. Have you been to a foreign country and heard someone speak in another language, and you have not studied that language? And oh man, it's rough, man. It's rough to try and communicate. So if you don't know enough of the language, you're going to have to start, you know, making symbols, pictures with your hands. It's like going back to babyhood. And get a piece of paper, and okay, you want to say, well, I want to go here. You know,
and drew a picture of the, you know, something, I don't know, some sort of building. Train, you know. You got to draw some pictures, and you try and communicate like this. And he or she will be speaking fluently in French or German or Spanish, and it's just coming out of his or her mouth just beautifully. And you don't understand a thing. Secrets, man. Secrets. It might as well be. Here's another one. Look at this one. This is in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Okay, so it's quite clear. The indefinite article, a. Indefinite article, a mystery. We know there's lots of mysteries. Well, here's one of them. A mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Oh, man. We shall not all sleep. Stop. Now, I want you to think about that there. This shows you that this epistle finds itself in time. And to try and remove this from its time is going to be a gross perversion. Look what it says. We. Now, think about that we. Well, that includes Paul and Timothy and those with him. We, plural. So it includes Paul. We shall not all. We shall not all. So we shall not all sleep. Sleep here would mean to die. We shall not all die. Well, he's saying, we shall not all die means some will die and some will not all die. Some will not die here. But we shall all be changed. So, one thing we know is we shall all be changed. Whether you die or whether you do not. Some of us, putting this in its time period, he's saying some of us will not die. But we all will be changed, whether we die or not. You get that? That's what it says. My question is, what happened? Did they all sleep? Or did they just change? Here is my question. So right here, we have a preterist passage. This will be one for the preterists, who will look at this and say, yeah, it happened AD 70. They got changed, man. They all were changed. All those Christians were changed, because that's what it says. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So what are you going to take here? You're going to say, oh, well, I don't know what to do with this here. You're just speaking metaphorically. But we shall all be changed at some time in the future. But that's not the context of this, is it? If this really means what it says, doesn't it mean some of us are not going to die, but we will still be changed? Some of us won't die, but we will be changed. Who? Who did not die but was changed? My question to you. Who did not die but was nonetheless changed? Preterist passage. A passage that will fit well with the notions of preterism. Well, what's the answer to this here? Well, the answer to this, my friends, is that as far as Paul was concerned, so back here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul was announcing to Israel and attempting to provoke Israel to change and accept their Messiah, and that being the case, he would return very, very quickly. His return was at hand. It was close by. The mystery relates to the fact that there's going to be a change, and that it would happen during their lifetimes, very likely, at least for some of them. He's admitting that for some people there, yes, he
you know, they'd die before seeing this. But he's also saying, by implication, that there would be people there that would not die, but nonetheless would experience this change, this metamorphosis in their bodies, where they're moved directly into the immortal state. Wouldn't that be wild? You're walking along, man, and oh man. When I was younger, and I used to train. When I was about, my late teens, especially, I used to get up in the morning, man, especially on a Saturday, and I'd get up early. I'll put my running shoes on and I'd run around the block, six mile run, right around. I'd come back just drenched in sweat. I was lean and mean and I was strong. And I honestly believed that I could just about lift anything. I mean, there's a Volkswagen Bug over there. I mean, as far as I was concerned, I could go to that bumper of that car and just lift the whole thing up. Man, I just felt like I was invincible. I felt so great and strong and fit and healthy. That's how I felt. You know, what on earth is this resurrected body going to be like? It's going to make that look like, nothing. Nothing, man. It's going to be Superman galore, the return of Superman. It's going to be fantastic. So here, but we shall all be changed. Look at this. Okay, this is 1 Corinthians 15. Let's have a look at this. 51 and verse 52. In a moment. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Now, if it's the last trump, there must be a sequence of trumps that happened before. You can't have a last trump and not have trumps going on before. And these are not the sound that comes out of the trumpet. This is a trumpet. Sal Pinks. It's a trumpet. Well, where do we get in the Bible a number of trumpets? The book of Revelation, my friends. And that's where we get it. In Revelation 11, verse 15, there is the last trump. And there it says, the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. And he shall reign forever and ever. What a beautiful thing to sing. Okay, so the point that I'm trying to get you to come to is this preterism thing. Because it's here, right? You've got to address it. It's in the scriptures. You've got to have to address it. So how do you explain this? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Well, this is exactly what God intended for the nation of Israel, that provided that they would repent, and he was certainly not going to tell them, oh, by the way, you're not going to repent. You know, oh, I'm going to give you this message, but actually I want to let you know that you're not going to repent. No, of course not. He is going to present a message to these people, and based upon that repentance, this would happen, but they didn't repent. At Acts 28, man, here you've got the record of what actually happened. They did not repent. And therefore, we shall not all sleep turned out to be incorrect. Why? Because this is conditional. Conditional on Israel's repentance, we shall not all sleep. But the moment the conditional fails, this is off. This is off. Soon as that conditional fails, it's off. And that is why we have the revelation of the mystery. And this is the answer to preterism. This is it. This is why there's a gap in there and why this was not fulfilled. The last trump didn't happen, my friends. Just read the book of Revelation. Where do you get all this stuff to do with the coming of Christ? And then there's this great big valley that's formed when he comes back. Earthquakes like crazy. And massive events happening right throughout the world. No, it hasn't happened. Well, I'll finish with this for now. We're going to have to finish our secrets a little bit later on because we need to get into 1 Thessalonians as well. But it's pretty cool stuff, man. Pretty cool stuff. And we are just beginning to answer preterism. We've just started. Rock and roll, man. I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest series on right division that I've begun to look at. Because it answers a whole lot of things. It addresses things honestly. It doesn't shovel them under the carpet. It doesn't produce some nice little answer. It's going to sort of make you feel better. And then when you leave the place, you say, what? That doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense at all. You need to have something that's just plain straight. It addresses it. Yes, that's right. That's the account. That's it. We got it. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for today and for the ministry that we have here. We pray for those that get the videos online, Lord, throughout the world, that they would see these truths and, Lord, be excited about them. We pray, Lord, for people in this country that they would come back to the gospel, come back to the book of books, and be rejuvenated and blessed. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.